I'm Chris Barker.
And I'm Will Betts, and this is Music Tech's My Forever Studio podcast, brought to you in partnership with Audient.
In this podcast, we speak with musicians, DJs, engineers, and producers about their fantasy forever studio.
The studio that our guests come up with today is one that they must live with for eternity. But even in fantasy foreverland, we do have a few rules, don't we, Chris?
That's right, the rules. Every guest gets to select a DAW, a computer, and an audio interface. That's standard. But then they get the opportunity to pick just six other bits of studio kit plus one luxury item.
We do have one rule, though, don't we?
Yes, the big one.
No bundle!
That's right, any hardware or software that is sold as a bundle or a package is not allowed on the podcast.
This time we are joined by Canadian funk duo Dave One and P-Thug, who have been putting out synth-laden pop perfection since 2004.
Yep, and this year they've got their new album, their sixth album, Adult Contemporary, coming out. We'll be talking a bit about that today. And knowing how much gear they have in the studio, it's going to be a bit of a challenge, I think, for them to slim it down to just six items.
Indeed it might be.
Yep, but let's get that challenge started. This is My Forever Studio with Chromio. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, the big intro. So you heard the rules there. We're going to build your forever studio. Before we do that, though, let's talk a little bit about the new album. And is this the first album in the new studio or the second album in the new studio?
Second.
Yeah. And tell us about the...
Sorry to interrupt.
No.
We do have the New York studio we used quite a bit on the album as well, and that's new.
Okay, so
it's our first bicoastal.
Nice. Yeah. The bicoastal.
It was small, very small, minimal New York studio.
That actually probably, six pieces.
Yeah, six pieces of gear. So we wrote about half the album in there, or like a third of it.
So, I mean, has it changed the way you make music, having this change up for studio? Because it was basically at Peace Place originally, right? The last stuff?
No. We were at Peace Place. We basically had a different studio per album. When you were there last, that was in P's basement in Montreal.
And then Business Casual, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then we did White Women in a spot in New York. And then we did Head Over Heels in LA. And then we did Adult Contemporary, mostly in the LA spot, but also in this new New York little outpost that we have.
And is that a conscious decision to change up the music, or is it just life?
It's nice, both, I think. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have a different thing per album, I find.
Yeah, also the logistics of life. Yeah. He lives in New York. We're there often. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have a B studio to, you know, do some quick stuff, get ideas.
LA is where a lot of the scene is. And yeah.
Well, no, LA is like, we have, you know, we can record vocals. We're not, it's our studio. We have a live room, a control room, a production room, you know.
Are you in a complex, or is it
It's our complex.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Huh, yeah.
So we've got tenants.
We've got, you know, Oliver down
Oliver's,
the street from us.
Okay. Down
the hall from us.
Yeah, Oliver's at our street.
You see, so that's different from the last place I saw Oliver, because he was in a commercial.
Pulse.
He was in Pulse.
Yeah, yeah, he's been with us.
Yeah, he moved out of Pulse into our compound.
Like nice. 7 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so out of touch now. Anyway, let's...
So yeah, we got those guys down the hall, and it's cool.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And again, it adds inspiration, doesn't it, when you've got people around you and
definitely.
You know, playing each other's tracks and stuff.
Yep, exactly.
Well, let's start digging into the Forever Studio. And one of the first questions related to that, actually, is if you could have your studio forever anywhere in the world, where would it be?
It's got to be one place.
Yeah.
If you had forever. To fix it.
No bi-coastal here.
Wow. That's... Oof.
And you have to decide between you. You can't have one each. This is the Chromio choice. This is why we love doing the podcast with duos as well. I mean, they're both city studios, so would it be a city? That's for the first thing to look
probably,
at.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, city studio.
Come on, throw out some cities.
I'm open. I'm really open. Not London, because it's like it's so long to get from one place to another. But New York, Paris.
I was in a studio not long ago. It was, and it's literally under the Louvre. It's pretty crazy.
How have they got that?
It's like a tunnel. This guy, I don't know. There's a tunnel, and it's the guy's building is right in front of the Louvre, and the tunnel goes under. That's a fun place. I would say Paris.
That boy can steal that one if you want. If you want that exact location.
Under the Louvre, right? Okay.
Yeah. Under the Louvre.
That's new. That's a new one.
Yeah, it's a new one. That's cool. And what about the style inside? Because you guys, stylish guys,
that's the thing.
And you know about interiors. You know, I see from your Instagrams.
Yeah, that's the one thing about our studio in LA. It's pretty ideal at all levels because when we moved in there, I mean, all the rooms were already kind of decked out in the way we wanted, down to the light switches, down to like all the trims, like all the
down
photos.
To the mustard velvet walls.
Yeah. It had everything we wanted.
So when was it fitted out? In like late 70s or something?
Yeah. So the story of that studio, as the landlord claims, is it was a studio in the 70s and then it became real, you know, a real studio when Madonna recorded parts of her first album there.
Okay.
Now that's what he says. I don't know if it's true or not, but the studio has been a studio since the 70s, and you can tell by the cigarette smell and the... It's gone now, but when I got in, it was like, wow.
Yeah, like, so the story with that studio, how we found it, that's why it would be hard to beat. I mean, I really don't like Los Angeles, but it would be nice to transpose that studio in other places, because in terms of, like, decor, you'd be hard-pressed to find something like this. Although Paris has really funky ones, too. Really, really nice.
But we're creating the Forever Studio ourselves here, so you can put those elements in your...
I mean, there's I went to a studio in Paris called Bang. You've probably heard of it.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the best looking one. It's pretty close in aesthetic to what we have. Mm. Ferber also in Paris is pretty close. So I think we could find one that looks like that. So like real kind of 70s looking, you know, so even the decor is inspiring, the light switches.
I mean, even Westlake is...
Westlake is perfect.
Westlake
Studio One
pretty,
is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of those are
especially
really nice.
Especially the speakers on the wall. Yeah, Michael Jackson speakers on the wall.
I think that's
on
where
the ceiling.
On the ceiling.
I think
West ceiling.
Lake is where Oliver was when I interviewed him. Actually,
yeah, the ceiling's awesome up there. So there's a lot of them that look right, but when we decided to relocate to LA for studio purposes, we knew that in the valley, like in Deep Valley, there were a lot of like hidden gems, and P found a listing online. That was like a Mediafire website with like a brick background.
Angel like, Fire brick background.
Counter.
Yeah. Purple underlined links.
Yes.
A counter on the bottom with the flames that turn.
And he was convinced that it was like a sort of an old website that was just preserved like through some like cookies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he called the number or wrote the email, I forget, but it was actually a guy who was like, oh yeah, you want to rent it out? So then that's how we found our landlord.
And did he go, do you like my website? It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to call him as well.
Yeah.
That's what websites are for.
Yeah. Excellent. So we're talking sort of late 70s styling, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Okay. And
definitely that style.
Then let's get the initial bits of gear out of the way then.
That's actually easy.
Yeah.
Audio interface, computer.
Well, that's on PL. Let him do
audio interface, computer, and DAW.
Audio interface, performing Apollo. It's just the best. DAW, can we make our own DAW?
Yeah. Yes, you can. Totally.
Wow.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that, because what was the first album when you went away from using?
On the last album.
Head Over Heels, not Adult Contemporary. Head Over Heels.
Hang on, went away from using what?
Cakewalk.
97.
On a Pentium 2 Dell. Yeah.
Wow.
With 11 gigs memory. And like in total.
That's not memory, that's hard drive space.
Yeah, hard drive space. Yeah. Yeah.
Memory, it had 256 or something, probably. Yeah.
Maximum, that was the best sequencer ever.
Yeah.
So let's say Cakewalk.
Nothing was better for that.
Cakewalk interface powered by Cubase efficiency.
Yeah. Because the Cakewalk interface, you know, we only programmed MIDI. We didn't really record into it.
Right.
So the idea for us was to have all the synths running MIDI, because P retrofitted even like the Mini Moog and stuff, so they could all be in MIDI, right? Or the Pro One or all these synths that normally aren't. So we have them all plugged in at once. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, you know, you see, I'm sure you guys saw a lot of studios with synths, but they're not plugged in.
Yeah.
That's poser.
You have to patch.
That's so corny.
Yeah. You have to patch the
corny to
the
me.
Preamp and
everything's got to be plugged in and ready to go so you can jam.
And you just pull it up on the desk.
Right? Yeah. Well, every no, it's pulled
not even
up.
It's yeah.
Everything's pulled
everything's
up.
Everything's on. There's a huge buzz and it's amazing.
Everything's on. So you press.
And then finding where that buzz is the challenge.
There's
not
there's
good.
The constant hum of two Juno 106 flanges.
Sounds great.
Oh, the choruses coming through. Yeah.
Both, two of them coming in and out. Oh,
nice.
Yeah. And then like the Wurlitzer kind of hums, but like.
And then the 60 hertz. So basically, hums you just everything else.
Yeah, you just press space bar and the song comes out.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the best way. I mean, no shade if, like, obviously not everybody could afford, but, like, sometimes you see these studios with, like, synths everywhere and, like, they're not plugged in. Then you got to take them out.
It's just a storage room.
Yeah. Like, if you have them, might as well have everything up all the time so that he can jam and we can even sometimes play together and so on. So Cakewalk was great because it was really good for MIDI and, like, just MIDI programming.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, on Pro Tools, you can't really do MIDI well because they're like these kind of...
It's terrible.
It's how would you describe what it looks like? It's like a little sausage or something, like, and you can't really move
the
it.
Events, yeah.
It looks terrible. So on Cakewalk, we just had our little blocks that we could move and the grid, you understand it, the velocities worked. Yeah. So that was great. And that's all we used. It was really simple. We didn't record any audio in there.
It was that simple MIDI program, but then diving in, I remember you guys doing that made your sound like... really being detailed on the velocity programming.
Oh, it's the most important.
Like,
yeah. Quantizing.
Where all the funk lies in those kind of little...
Yes, yeah, that's the most important part.
I remember us doing a hi-hat thing about that. And
exactly. That's the most fun part, right?
That's where the Cakewalk tools were amazing because you could take like a chunk of events and then draw a line for velocity as... however you wanted it, and then it would just follow, so you don't have to do one by one.
And the length, I remember.
It's crucial.
The length of notes
so
being
crucial.
Really crucial to the
song. It was
as well.
So simple that it was very efficient.
And then we managed to do the same on Cubase, and then like reskinned the Cubase so that it looks terrible like our Cakewalk did. So it's like the same really bad neon colors and so on. Mm-hmm. So it kind of looks the same for me when I'm programming.
Steinberg should release that skin, the Chromio skin.
We asked. They denied us for everything. We actually asked them to re-release Cakewalk Chromio version because Steinberg owns Cubase, right?
Cubase, but
yeah.
So we were like, owns Cakewalk.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then maybe they should do, but like nobody would want it. It's like you know when we
it became Sonar after.
Yeah.
It's like when we made the most, you know, unpopular splice pack of all time because like what we value is not really what a lot of people value, you know, there's no plug and play for us. It's like we love tedious, you know. So
it wasn't unpopular.
Well, it wasn't as popular as Oliver. And I'm judging by Oliver.
That's different.
What was different about the pack?
In our pack, basically
we focused on giving people tools.
Giving people our studio.
It was not, just MIDI.
Yeah. No, we should have done that.
Yeah,
we should have done that.
Yeah.
So basically, we wanted to give people our
studio.
MIDI,
we gave MIDI. Okay. MIDI
we did. Yeah. We gave people our studio. So we basically took every synth and like patches that we liked from every synth and did like C, 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 C.
Oh, multi-samples basically. Rather
so
than
you can see. C. C, F, A, C,
even
F,
better.
A, C, F, A for three octaves.
And then you can pitch everything and you get our keyboard.
Yeah.
And then we did it on our favorite patches. So you literally walk away with our synth.
But people wanted Chromio loops.
We did a few of those.
A few,
but
you know, we're not going to, you know, this is our DNA.
Yeah.
Give us our tools, but you know.
And we don't really use loops. We never use loops. Very seldom. Like it doesn't really, it's not really our thing. So like... But
you run the whole synth live with them. So if you do trigger the thing with MIDI, you won't just create a loop and then you run it for the length of the song, right?
Yeah. So you get
the synth to do its thing.
You get the life of the instrument through.
That's nice.
And
to
also
get.
The re-triggers and all of that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
It's nice to get like because sometimes the phase is different, obviously in time. Like
the oscillators are phasing differently, especially on a mini Moog or something that
things
doesn't
that
have
don't re-trigger from the start of the waveform every time.
Especially with a dead voice chip and a 106 or whatever. It's different every time.
It's flavor.
Or even like the chorus on the 106, you know, you want to let it
modulate
through and give a nice little wave, or even on the Elka syntax, you know.
So anyway, so that's the DAW, I guess. We would have like a hybrid between Cubase and our our trusted old cakewalk. And then what else did we ask?
I don't know how I feel about that, honestly. That feels like you're bending a rule there. I feel quite, quite strict at the moment.
We tricked out our cakewalk, our Cubase, sorry. Yeah. I still call it cakewalk as a thing every time I open it.
He still calls it cakewalk.
Every time.
Every day in the studio.
Open cakewalk.
Cubase. Is cakewalk on?
I think that's fair. It's their own version.
Yeah, it's with the custom
stuff. Our Cubase is really nicely tricked out. It's nice. Okay. I love it, actually. And, you know, we use, like, we have it really simple.
And a computer, Pentium 2 still, or?
No.
Pentium 3.
No, we had that. It was so hard to find. But now we have,
I used to have to go to Salvation Army to switch out, because the CD-ROM burner would always mess up. And then that was the only way to get stuff out.
In and out.
So I'd go to Salvation Army, buy old computers, replace the burner.
At one point you couldn't find them.
Yeah.
So that's when
it
changed.
Became really, really hard. So.
So whatever, now we're good on Mac.
I guess. So Mac, we're going to choose Mac, and you got desktop or laptop?
No. Trash can.
Yeah.
But it's important to have, the most important thing when you make music for like our style is to have mice. Like a real mouse.
Yeah.
Because you can right and left click.
And we don't know why there's still nothing on a computer where you can have literally two cursors.
Well, we do.
No. We have two mice, but one cursor.
Oh, yeah, that's
we
true.
Fight it.
Yeah.
So I'm handing over the con or whatever
we're not
it is.
Like there's two, like we're sitting in front of the screen and
two mice, two keyboards.
Yeah.
Plugged into the same machine.
Controlling the same
keyboards,
cursor.
Yeah. Yeah, controlling the same cursor. Yeah. So we're both like this in front of the computer. A lot of duos have one person on the computer the other one like sort of doing creative direction, if you will. But we're both on the computer, each have our mouse, and we're just like...
I've actually never heard of a duo using dual mice, dual keyboard setup.
Yeah,
It's fun, yeah.
It's fun.
It's like ballet. We have a choreographer. Yeah. Yeah. But no, we're pretty good. We know when to, you know, we don't fight over it that much.
No, it's sometimes. Like because P will do like a little bit of waveform editing because now we have Cubase, so we do record into it.
Yeah.
So P will do like, you know, editing. I might do more like velocity stuff and, you know, might be more like little drum edits and P will do more like keyboard edits. We have a system. It's pretty good.
And up to that point, before you were recording into Cubase, what were you recording into?
So we used to go cakewalk. Just MIDI, very rough wave files just to get, you know, like an idea.
We would re-record those.
And then we would import the MIDI into Pro Tools and then track everything in Pro Tools.
Right.
So let's say we had guitars, vocals, bass, live instruments, piano or whatever. Everything would be dumped into Pro Tools.
And how was that transfer of MIDI out of Cakewalk into Pro Tools?
It was really tough.
Yeah.
First of all, because I had to burn a CD-ROM for everything.
Yeah, nice.
And you literally waste one CD for one MIDI, you know.
Floppy disk.
5K file. Yeah. And then you get it into Pro Tools. And if it doesn't work, it's, you know.
Because it's strange, actually, how moving MIDI between programs doesn't always work
as you wanted.
Even velocity, pitch, and mod can be strange.
Sometimes you have to transpose stuff. It was like the wrong transpose. Yeah. Mm. It was pretty cool, but like we did that. The album White Women, which is like our one of our most critically acclaimed ones, we did it all like that.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of that. But now we have a different system,
and that must have been why it was hard to move though, because it's like if you're crushing it with that setup, it's like why change anything?
Yeah.
But now we have a new setup that I like. Mm. It's cool.
Do you like it more?
Yeah, it's good. It's fine. I just don't want it to evolve too much. Like, because now already there's plugins that are going to stop working. We use like a very finite number of plugins.
Yeah,
like maybe
the
six
Filter
or seven.
XL. Vengeance Filter XL.
And we use very unpopular ones.
How unpopular?
Well, that
Come
one.
Come on.
Vengeance. Well, maybe these will...
Okay, maybe they'll make it into the six items.
These will come into the six items. So we
don't need those.
We should.
All right, so let's get back on topic.
Back on topic, the computer, we're choosing Mac, but you can have any Mac you want, or is your trash can one?
Most recent powerful tower or trash can.
The one that's like $30,000 or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that everybody chooses.
Yeah. The one that is $20,000.
Yeah.
Okay. It's free, right?
Yeah.
It's free.
Okay, yeah. I'll take that one.
Yeah.
This is all free in the Fantasy Forever studio. It's going to happen. Okay, so now we've got the setup. We've got the three items. Now we move on to your first item out of the six of your studio.
I could do the first three and PL do the first three because I won't touch the synth. But we need one guitar.
Okay, what guitar are you getting?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
No. Just any
Put
less.
Down
like a Les Paul.
Behringer Strat.
No, just a Les Paul.
Okay. Just a Les Paul.
Gibson?
Yeah. Any yeah. Who's Les Paul?
Doesn't matter. Mine.
Your Les Paul.
Yeah, mine.
When did you get your Les Paul? Are you still using the same ones from like when you were a kid? Because there's always a moment a lot of musicians will have that.
No, I broke it. And I don't know. Because the thing is, like, I don't really believe in like certain years and stuff. You really have to try it out. So I love the sound of my Les Paul and I love the sound of my Strat, but I wouldn't say, oh, it's this year or whatever.
But was there a moment when you started, you know, learning guitar when you're a kid, when you get your first Gibson or your first Fender and you haven't got, or did you go straight to that?
No, I was a kid. I didn't have money for that. We had like, you know.
So that's a big day though. That's what I mean. I remember myself, you know, when you get your first, it's not like a knockoff of a Strat.
First guitar was a PV.
Yeah.
Those are probably trendy now.
PV Predator or something like that.
Those are probably huge now.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, for me, it was a slow, because, you know, first the Epiphones and so on. Yeah, so I don't even remember when the first, but I got, the Les Paul I have now sounds really, really good. The Strat I have now sounds really, really good. Given the choice, I guess I would take Les Paul because I could probably EQ a humbucker pickup to sound thin enough that it would be a single coil kind of vibe. And then like, I mean, this is going to sound horrible, but like the guitars we have, I can't really imagine anything sounding better for us. Like the Music Man bass perfect.
It's unparalleled.
We got a 78 one. So.
So are we thinking that as well as a second item?
Yeah. No, it has to be one guitar, one bass. And then like, I would say, I mean, if you don't mind, I'd say like either a Wurlitzer or a Rhodes, because we do, it's kind of nice, a Rhodes to just have that.
Any particular year on the roads?
Oh, yeah, actually, Suitcase, you know.
Mark II?
Suitcase, Mark II, yeah.
It's not that important, though, really.
No, these change a lot.
Right.
Yeah, it's not.
Have you tried the Electron?
I don't believe in guitar tones as much as I believe in Rhodes.
Have you tried the Mark VII, the new one?
Yes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I still don't understand what the MIDI does, but
maybe
out, does it?
It's just out.
Yeah, I think it's just so you can have something on.
Let's put a question mark on the Rhodes if there's synths that like we really need.
Yeah, we can go back. We'll do a rundown. Yeah,
so guitar bass, like we have to.
Okay,
and then guitar bass Rhodes, I think, is an important trilogy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Rhodes is that important?
And tell us about the bass. When do you get that? When
I got it for him.
Yeah, it's my birthday gift.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
When?
Okay.
What, 5 years ago?
Maybe more, like 6, 7.
Yeah.
Nice.
Was it something you'd been hankering after? Something, you know, you'd been looking at the... No, just like a delightful...
No, I just figured it'd be nice because we had the jazz, the P bass for a long time, and I knew this one had a different sound.
But the Music Man is also the funk tone.
Was it like a Stingray or what is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Stingray.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine was like, dude, there's a 1978... listed on reverb.com and it was before they got expensive. I mean, it wasn't cheap, but it wasn't today's price, so I just snagged it.
Is that like Larry Graham bass?
It's everybody's bass.
Chic Larry.
Burn. Every funk, you know, funk records you listen to probably has a Music Man.
Nice.
From Patrice Rushen to, you know, Rick James. It's like
the best sound. And then so
that's the bass on this album and the last album.
Yep.
Yes.
There might be a song or two where we use the other one.
Yeah, but mainly.
Definitely.
Mainly the Music Man.
That's like the reach. But like we have like one Strat, one Les Paul, one P bass, one Music Man, and
so
that's it.
What could become complicated here, maybe, is so you've chosen those two amps, or are you going you're direct into the desk on the buffers?
We're not going to count the amp. We're limited. Yeah. So we'll just go direct.
Direct. You know what? We could do with an
I like
API.
How serious you're getting about this now as well. This is the right
we have only six things, right?
Yeah. Amps count.
So forget the amp. We're not a rock band, so it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with synths, because that's really the most important.
Yeah. But like before we get there, what happened to the first Les Paul? How did it break? Is it a sad tale, or is it... We don't have to go there if you didn't want to.
The first Les Paul that broke, I might have thrown it at a guitar tech after a fit.
Oh,
I don't
no.
like saying that story because that was when I had more of a temper than now. I fixed my temper.
That's a great way to break a guitar when you're rock and roll.
I don't love that story, but yes.
It's better to say, oh, we just opened
the
case.
And that's why we have the new one, new you, new
new Les Paul. New Les Paul, new me. And I love the sound of the new one. It's really, really good. But you know, like, in general with guitars, I never really understood the whole years thing and all that, because every single one's different. So, like, I don't know, like
within the same year. Yeah.
Yeah, you just go try it. If you like the sound, you like the sound. Also, one person's sound might be different than the other one. Like, we happen to have like a really, really good sounding Strat. No, we're lucky, and we use it, and that's it. It's not that deep.
Yeah, and it's the way you play as well.
Like, also,
you
know, yeah, your fingers. Yeah. You know what I mean. Mm. So, anyways, let's go to synths because that's. Right, I'm sorry to rush us, but like, no. It's giving me anxiety because like.
Because you know it's going to be a big conversation.
Well, it's our sound. Yeah. And then now I'm thinking, like, what do we do with drums? Because that also counts.
So
right?
What we've got locked yeah. in. We've got the Les Paul.
I would have to sacrifice. I mean, what are we going to play with drums?
The Music Tech My Forever Studio podcast is supported by Audient, makers of the ID range of audio interfaces.
Yes, building on Audient's 25 years of design heritage, the ID range spans from the portable ID4 to the more feature-packed ID14 and 24 interfaces, all the way up to Audient's powerhouse desktop interface, the ID44.
You can expect rugged build quality and exceptional audio performance across the entire range, with every ID interface using the same award-winning console mic preamps found in their renowned recording console, the ASP8024HE.
The ID24 is the latest addition to the range, featuring two of those console mic preamps, along with balanced inserts, a JFET instrument input, ADAC expandability, and customizable monitor control, making the ID24 and its larger sibling, the ID44, perfect for using with outboard equipment and tracking instruments and vocals.
That's right, and the Audient ID24 is available now, priced at £299, €349, and $399.
Visit audient.com for more information and to explore the full ID interface range.
Item number one, Les Paul. Item number two, the Music Man. Uh-huh. Number three, the Rhodes.
Question mark. Let's go to synths because I'm stressed.
We'll start with item number four then on synths. Item number four.
Okay, well,
let's just forget the minimum.
Is there one that's been on? There's got to be one that's been on every album, every record.
Well, not the first one.
The Prophet 5. It's tough, man.
There's Juno 106 for
Juno
sure.
Juno 106
That's for sure. That's for sure. And then, because that we can make a bass sound with that, and even we've done,
If we're limited, we have to go with versatility.
Yeah, so let's think about that.
So Juno 106, most versatile synth ever made on planet Earth.
Yeah, because, and we, you know, Pete knows how to freak it. Even if we wanted a mono bass, we could.
Even if you want a mono bass, if you want, something to sound like an SH-101,
the Juno can do it. Make it sound like anything, is the thing. So that's the most important
one. Is that specifically, you would say, the 106?
Yeah.
Rather than the 60.
HS-60. Actually, HS-60 might be better because you get a speaker. HS-60.
Yeah.
That's the one with the two speakers? Yeah. But it has the engine of the 106.
It's a 106.
With speakers.
Okay, so let's put
that
one.
It was their home version, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's do that one, fine, for practicality.
So Roland HS-60. For sure. We need drums.
That's the thing I just realized. But you know what? Let's do an MPC like we had. Or
that's a good
hack. Actually, no, forget it. No, because in Cubase, there's battery. Mm. So then we can run battery. Forget the drums.
Battery
we have the drums.
Is a separate piece of software, my friend.
Oh, it is? No, it's not. It's put in.
Native instruments. There'll be there's Halion sampler.
No.
We don't use Halion.
You know what? Okay, no, screw that. I bet you with our sound bank, we'll just forget that.
We can use sound banks.
Yeah, our sound banks.
Yeah.
Our proprietary. We'll just program in.
Fine. The drum tracks can stay.
So what, MPC?
No. Forget.
We'll just focus on synths.
No, because we'll use our drum.
Are you going to use one shot
sounds?
Okay, samples.
We'll use our one shots, which we do all the time.
Yeah, we have a proprietary library that we've been building for 17 years.
And we'll just place them. Okay. That's fine. So that goes into Cubase. Okay. So we just save the drum machine.
Keep your finger on the note bundles. Yeah, it's close.
We're straight. So now three synths. So Juno
HS-60.
Uh huh.
But then if we have that, if we're really smart, then I would forfeit the Moog because we have the Juno now. So then just one thing.
Yeah.
One synth.
No, but
so HS-60, Prophet 5, Monopoly.
Really? Yeah. All right. There you go.
I've already discovered a problem.
What?
What about the talk box?
What about your
screw
speakers?
The Monopoly.
I'll build it.
No. Screw the Monopoly, put a talk box, and
this is tough.
Let's be done with it.
The talk box and the Yamaha. Well, you still...
Is it one piece? Can I have...
No, it's not.
No, wait.
No bundle!
No bundles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So whatever. Play the talk box on the Korg or whatever. It doesn't matter. Play it on...
Yeah, I can play the talk box. Yeah, sure.
Juno? Can Juno, you get that
yeah,
for
play
Juno?
The talk box on anything.
Yeah. On the Prophet.
By the way, those are not big problems.
Yeah.
Well, play the talk box on the Prophet. That was a thing anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't it? Right. All right. So let's put the talk box.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the talk box that you built, Pete?
Whatever.
No, I'll take the...
Take Troutman's one.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Talkbox.
Talkbox from Troutman Estate.
HS60, Prophet 5, Rhodes, bass, Music Man, and Les Paul guitar.
There you go. That's it.
Talkbox, Prophet 5, HS60, Rhodes, Music Man, Les Paul. What are you going to listen back on?
Wait, we have the DAW.
Yeah, but you
that can't exclude speakers.
It excludes speakers.
What about headphones? That's not gear.
You can use phone headphones, like phone but you headphones can't have studio headphones.
Who cares?
Phone headphones.
speakers. Can you plug them into the Apogee or whatever?
Into the UAD?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can have
those little adapters.
We'll give you an adapter.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah, no.
No monitors. No. This is so bold. This is going to be the boldest one we've ever done.
Yeah. No, because we can't have less than this. And the thing is, we usually very often, very, very often, we plug in two sets of headphones and just make the music like that.
Mm.
So, and I guess you guys still mixing as a separate thing.
Yeah. There you go. So we just, yeah.
And mixing. A lot of testing is done on iPods anyways.
Yeah.
So
AirPods, you mean?
Yeah.
AirPods, yeah.
Yeah. AirPods or phone speakers. So monitors are kind of a waste.
What about a microphone to record your voice?
Oh, is that count? Does that count?
Yeah. Unless you're going to use your phone mic.
Oh, it doesn't count?
It doesn't count. Not if you want to
You're going to need one.
Well,
potentially.
First instrumental Chromeo album.
No. We'll just use the phone mic.
Yeah.
And then just dump it all into Cubase.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, it's not ideal. I mean,
so
it's not ideal.
Well, that means I'll switch the sound card to an Apogee because it has two low impedance inputs for guitars and it has a mic.
There you go.
Apogee Ensemble. Sorry. Okay.
That's a good hack. That is a good hack.
Never seen that done, but yeah.
So you're saving preamps, preamps.
Because for writing, it'd be hard to not have the Rhodes. I mean, I feel like we could forfeit the Rhodes, but I wouldn't forfeit the Rhodes.
No, but it's always an amazing layer to anything, especially if you're going to be limited with synths.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. The only one that me, honestly, I know myself, like, it would be nice to have a mic. So I would forfeit the Korg. Because like all...
We don't have a Korg anyway.
We don't have a Korg in there.
Oh, what do we have?
I think we've already forfeited
it. Prophet 5.
We forfeited that for the talk box.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
All right, no, we're good. We're good.
Yeah, and if we're really in a messy situation, the talk box is a speaker. So you could test a mono output on the talk box.
Maybe a tough mix, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, this sucks. You know, it's not great.
The talk test.
But I can't imagine. I can't imagine anybody who works with.
It's like an NS10, you know.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody who works with hardware having like an easy time doing this.
No, that's why we try to get hardware people on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll make it happen, man. We've done a lot worse.
Yeah.
I mean, you've tricked out Cubase at least now.
Yeah.
And the Apogee.
Yeah. So the Cubase helps a lot because.
You can do the drums on there.
We'll do the drums. That's a big thing.
Yeah. But in terms of the Prophet 5, you said you've been using that since the very beginning.
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Mm-mm. Second album.
Second album.
Yeah. Actually, not even, I think, third album.
Is it?
Yeah. Now, Fancy Footwork, we didn't have it yet. Because I remember Business Casual, it was you bought it in between the two. And I was like, oh my God, we got a Prophet. But I think on Fancy Footwork, I didn't have it.
So how integral is that then to the sound? I mean, what are you using that for?
He likes it.
It's very into it, yeah. It's also, just like the Juno, it's very versatile. You can bass lines, patches, leads, you know. Yeah. The filter is so just responsive. The envelopes are extremely either punchy or soft and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Dirtier grain than the Juno, because like obviously, you know.
It's a good balance.
Yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm interested in the first album, because I didn't get to talk to you about this the first time, but what was the gear setup then?
The first album, we did a lot on the Nord Modular.
Yeah. A lot on the Nord Modular.
First, and the G1, not the G2, first one.
And then what was the six track?
A lot.
The six tracks.
We already had the six track.
That's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a Korg M1 that we used for Needy Girl.
For what sounds were you?
Drums.
But, oh, no, right, well, okay. No, but let's be honest. The Korg M1.
Drums and bell leads.
Yeah, but it, other than Needy Girl, it didn't come into play much. It was only for that like crazy 90s.
No, I'm just telling what we had.
Yeah. Korg M1.
Yeah. Korg Macro Preset 500.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was our first synth, even before we were Chromio.
Oh, what about the Realistic?
The Moog Source, the Radio, like the Shack Radio Realistic. Shack.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't have another name?
Realistic MG1.
MG1,
yeah.
So MG1, six track.
Drum tracks.
Yeah.
The six track and the Nord Modular. Those made the first album.
That's the sound of the first
the
album.
Nord Modular, that's quite, yeah. 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 Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the Nord Modular.
And we still use it today.
We brought it back live, yeah. On this album.
Oh, really?
It was a G2X live. We got two of them on stage. Yeah.
It's just, but on the new album, we use the modular a lot.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I love the sound it has. It's really glassy and like sort of overly clean.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives a nice contrast.
It's like nice and cold and just stiff.
Yeah, especially if you've got Junos and Prophets, contrast to that.
Like the bass from Needy Girl is that.
Mm. Ah, okay.
That thing is...
Yeah.
Well, I would have thought that was a Juno. That would have been my guess.
Could be, but yeah. I mean, when I make patches on the what's really amazing on the Nord Modular is when you try to make something sound like another synth, like all my patches were just recreation of structures of the Juno 106, the Mini Moog, mm-hmm. the Prophet 5. You just rebuild the same structure. And then by trying to get like a Juno 106 sound, you get something really interesting.
Yeah.
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 Because it's got its own flavor.
Did they stop making that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's discontinued 10 years ago. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Unfortunately.
Why would you think that? Like, why would they do that?
The concept was amazing.
It's amazing.
You plug your computer, you have an interface.
We have a dedicated computer for it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Pentium 2.
No, that's a Mac. That's a Mac. I don't think you could do that on it. But we have a dedicated computer for it. And it, I don't know. I love the sound on that one. It's so cool. And it's MIDI.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the stone mod wheel. That one?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so chic.
So cool.
It's Scandinavian,
the stone
right?
mod wheel and the wood pitch bend.
That's Scandi. Yeah.
And it's all, right? That's all Scandinavian wood. It's all Scandinavian steel. I went to the factory.
Are you serious?
And
so why did they stop making that then? It's so high end.
They literally invented sustainable and wholesome company like this in the 90s.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. We should make a Chromio. That'd be sick.
That would be cool.
Well, ours are
first
chrome,
Nord that isn't red as well.
Yeah.
The only one.
Yeah,
that would be
chrome.
Cool. Yeah,
like our because we chromed out.
We
ours.
Chromed out ours. Yeah.
All right.
No, well, we didn't even put the silk screen back on. Just plain.
So you have to know how to use it.
Yeah, you have to know how to use it. Yeah.
Dude, you should see mine on stage. There's tape everywhere. With written, it's all crazy. The one I have on stage, there's masking tape. Like,
do you rib him about that?
No, he helps me do it.
You're just like, no.
No, he helps me do it. We do it every sound check.
This one's cut off. This one's
exactly.
Yeah. No, because then during the show, he turns around to me if something happens. So I'm like, well, just here's enough for this. Here's enough for that. Glow in the dark tape.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Could you switch out the Juno and the Prophet for the modular?
No.
Serve yourself a no.
That's like a downgrade your dreams.
No, it's got to sound like us.
No.
The modular is a cherry on top. But now you have the gear for the first album.
Hmm? Yeah.
Mm.
Drum tracks. Oh, we had an MPC.
MPC, yeah. Mm. 2000.
So a lot of the drums were either MPC or drum tracks.
Yeah. Actually, we did a lot on the MPC 1000.
Mm-hmm.
The battery, the small.
That was sick.
The talk box then. So we're saying you will take Troutman's talk box.
Yes.
How did you arrive on that sound, on the talk box?
Wait, are we talking about the patches on the keyboard or the machine itself?
The machine itself.
That's Troutman's?
What?
You said Troutman.
Oh, no, just
for the
fantasy. If you could have anyone.
Oh, my bad. No, okay. I didn't realize we were still fantasizing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always.
It's all fantasy. That's why we're saying, do you want to steal somebody's guitar?
Gotcha. Honestly, and this sounds so cheesy, like the way we want ours, but like, I just feel like, you know, if this show is aspirational in any way for people who listen, it's just about having your own stuff and what works. Anyway, go back. Sorry, talk box.
So repeat the question.
What was it that drew you to that specific sound? Because it's very, very particular.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've known each other since high school. We started discovering music, funk music, because we didn't come from a background that really, you know, exposed us to funk music or jazz or soul or anything remotely. Mm-hmm. So we discovered this music together. We would go shopping for 25 cent records on Saturdays, rehearse, you know, and just listen to music, teenager stuff, you know? And the day I picked up the Roger Troutman and Zap records and More Bounce to the Ounce played, I did not know it. I did not know what that sound was. I didn't know if it was from this year or from 20 years ago. It
sounded pretty modern.
Yeah.
It still sounds modern. Yeah. Once that came in, I was like, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I've always wanted to sing. I can't sing. And this allows me.
He's a pretty good singer. I mean,
this allows me to sing.
He sings almost a lot of demos. Mm.
So just discovering that, I knew that was the end. And back then, we didn't have internet. We didn't have none of that. I didn't even know what that thing was. Mm. Just finding out what the sound was.
Yeah, that's the thing that people don't talk about, actually. Like, now everybody's so used to it. But, like, you used to hear stuff and go, what is that? Like, guitar tones or totally. How do you, effects.
How do you figure that out? Yeah. And we're in Montreal, you know, and you go to the local guitar shop.
It's a hair metal guy trying to sell you a Washburn.
Yeah.
And you're just like, dude, this guy doesn't like Zap.
Washburn.
Yeah, this guy doesn't like Zap. Yeah. Doesn't even know Zap.
And you ask, like, what is this sound? And he gives you all the wrong answers.
Yeah.
You know, and then you figure out, you know, one of them is smart. Oh, that sounds like Peter Frampton. What is that? Oh, it's called a talk box. Okay, do you have one? No, we don't. We haven't sold these in 20 years.
Yeah, straight up.
So I literally built my first talk box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found a project book, electronic. I've always loved electronics. I found an electronics project book which had one pedal per page.
Mm-hmm.
They gave you the schematics and how to build it. I built my first talk box.
How many times have you electrocuted yourself?
A lot.
Yeah.
Live on show. Yeah.
Oh man, live for real. Live. In the rain.
Because before times. All the new reissues, like in the mid 2000s.
That was the Rocktron Banshee stuff, right?
Yeah. When Rocktron Banshee came out with the preamplified, and then everybody like MXR followed, and then so on and so forth. A million companies have talk boxes now, but the only one available back then was the Hale talk box, the Dunlop, right? But it wasn't amplified. So I had to schlep around a preamp connected to the talk box and, of course, creating a circuit with myself and the mic.
And a bit of potential human dribble.
To really juice the circuit, you know? And literally, it was like I was part of a circuit at all times. And then finally, you know, I remember one live show, we had to stop the show.
Yeah, it was bad. And then we didn't stop the show.
Huh?
We didn't stop the show. We didn't. But after the show, you were green and you were like, dude, I electrocuted myself so many times.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
So is that a different electrocution vibe in North America than it is in Europe?
Because that's a great question.
Different voltages.
Yeah.
More dangerous over here.
Thank God it wasn't in the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, that was in the US.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to get into international voltage territory. There we are. That's happened.
Very important. Cover everything
on that should be the name of a tour.
international voltage territory.
It's a great tour.
So you built the first one, and that still? You must have a different one for road use now than
Yeah.
And is it still built, or do you own a
Rocktron Banshee?
Okay, Rocktron.
Yeah.
And is that the one you'd have, or
yeah.
That's the one.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. So what did Troutman have? Did he build his own as well? Presumably. Troutman, he must have built his own.
No, he had a Golden Throat.
Okay.
Yeah. Electro-harmonics Golden Throats.
So
those were out back then. Yeah.
So you don't want Troutman's one on the Fantasy.
But he retrofitted it. I went to his brother's house in Dayton, Ohio, and he showed me everything. On the first one, you always see him in live, and he has a podium.
Yeah.
And the DX100 on top. And you don't know where the tube's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So they retrofitted the speaker into the stand with it out for the tube. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why it's super slim.
Yeah. And it was always the DX100.
He started on a Mini Moog. And then because the DX100 came in a bit later, he started doing talkbox on the guitar in the mid-70s, where he was producing other bands. And then he started on the Mini Moog in 79. He switched to the synthesizer. He was like, I need more sustain. I need to be able to have, you know, long notes, you know, four bar notes. And he switched to synths.
And was the something about the DX100 with the enunciation and the clarity as well? Or is that just a
you know,
myth?
It's the synth you use for the talk box, it's just like guitar tones. I really don't, it doesn't have to be a DX100. It doesn't have to be a Mini Moog. As long as you have a good, powerful speaker and you get a saw wave into this, it's all about what you do, how you pronounce, what you do with your mouth, how you, where your tongue is, where you're, you know.
And you have to learn to pronounce certain letters differently when you're doing a talk box.
What's the trick? What's the trickiest one?
What's the trickiest words?
Words with the G.
Yeah. Because it goes
crazy. Yeah. G, girl, you know, stuff like that.
Well, there's a challenge for Chromio.
And the H's, or the H's. As The H's are really tough. It's a lot of practice.
There's for the first time in Chromio history, there's a solo talk box song on the album. Mm. The album finale is a solo talk box song.
Yeah. That's right.
Pay for it. Yeah.
It's a ballad.
And you've got one track's got quite a lot of brass on it. Sorry, this we're diverting a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is that real brass?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's our friends from they're from the UK.
Going a bit Sussudio on it, on the vibe of that kind of. Yeah. I saw like even it's got that squelchy bass as well.
Yeah,
on that track.
Average white band or whatever. Yeah. There's two. The next single has brass in it too.
Excellent.
Yeah, Joe Jackson vibes too, right?
Amazing.
So who's you said the brass is from the UK?
Yeah, they're called the Triple H Horns. Shout out to those guys.
Nice. Yeah,
they're from out here.
Triple H. And
did they record separately or did you go to a session?
No, we sent those over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was nice. Super quick.
Okay, well, we're kind of closing in.
One weird question. Okay. Mm. You know, you said it had to be a saw wave. Is there a particular synth you prefer to fire into your mouth when you're doing the talk box?
Actually,
Dealer's
Choice. SH-101 is really good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that? Because it's...
There's the saw wave, the single saw wave is so just clean and powerful, cuts through. Mm. There's very little manipulation you need, and you can feel it just like pumping, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The DX100 is great. It's just very tricky to program.
Yeah. Right. Didn't you have some presets?
I have
Troutman Rogers presets. I remember that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's very cool. That's like gold. Well, I just want to get towards the end. Oh, mm-hmm. Pet peeves, though, guys.
Are we done already?
We've got one more thing.
Oh.
Talkbox, does it annoy you when radio DJs and hosts call it vocoding or call it... Because it winds
Bane
me up
of
all
our existence.
The time.
Dude, it used to drive me nuts.
I was
the vocoder talkbox auto-tune police.
Yes.
I would troll people, and then I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It winds me up. There was they were talking about Cher's Believe on the radio, and they were like, "Oh, it's get that vocoder out again."
Yeah. But wait, you can't blame people for that. Like, it's pretty complicated, the nuance, you know. Like,
sure,
it's a pretty. I mean,
if you've learned the vocoding bit, learn the rest.
Yeah,
if you don't know what it is at all, I get it.
Yeah. I love how militant you are about this as well.
Okay. It winds me up.
If you're a professional. I'll troll you.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you should know.
Yeah.
Are you trolling as yourself or are you creating burner accounts
to
troll
people? Myself.
That would be myself. Good. Let's
egg,
just have
an
a...
egg Twitter. Yeah. A burner. That's dope.
Just for trolling people.
If you're supposed to be in the know, you're annoying. Yeah, no. But, you know, a radio host or like my mother, you know, they should not know.
Yeah, we have a Cambridge Analytica army of trolls. We have a Russian troll army. It's correcting, dropping comments, correcting, even saying like voice box or talk box, weighing in.
Yeah.
Oh, I cringe every time on the radio when they when Daft Punk used the, no, it's not that. okay, so the final item we've got, first off, you guys listen. Will's going to run down the studio. He's going to set the scene.
Right.
Listen for any last minute changes before we get to your luxury item. Okay, so strap in. Here we go.
We're underneath the Louvre in Paris in a late 70s style studio. Did you want to transplant your LA studio under the Louvre?
Sure.
We've transplanted your studio under the Louvre.
Your computer is a Mac Pro with a dual mouse setup. Your audio interface is an Apogee Ensemble with the built-in microphone. Your DAW is your tricked-out Cubase with a custom skin. For your first item, you've chosen a Gibson Les Paul. Your second item is a Music Man Stingray bass from 1978. You've got a Mark II Suitcase Rhodes. Item number four is a Roland Juno HS60. Item five is a Prophet 5. And your final item is a Rocktron Banshee Talk Box. How does that work for you guys?
Sounds great.
I think we're good.
That studio under the Louvre sounds like a great start to a heist movie as well.
Yeah, we can make an album with that. Yeah. We'll definitely make an album with that.
All the bass setting off the alarms, and they have to turn the alarms off, so then you tunnel in, steal all the stuff.
That's funny. Yeah, we can make an album with that. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Studio heist.
Yeah, studio. Wow, that's cool.
Fast and the Furious.
Mm-hmm.
The new one.
Yeah.
But studio based.
They could Fast and the Funky.
Funky and Furious.
Funky and the Furious, yeah. The heist movie soundtrack. That's nice. Okay, so here we go. This is the last item. Not a piece of gear, a luxury item that you would have in your studio. Maybe there's something that's moved from studio to studio or something you find yourself always going, why
it can't be gear?
Not a piece of
gear. Because that'd be a luxury item. Bring another synth.
It would be a luxury item. Bring 80.
What about monitors?
That's studio
not
gear.
Not gear at all.
No gear.
Mm. A luxury item. Yeah, we're not really like
that. Okay, luxury item, the most complete vinyl collection in the world.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Inspo. That's
go into my...
that's good. There we go.
Go into my iTunes... Everything that I've ever ripped or burned in my life.
Guys, right? They have that.
Yeah. Everything that I've ever ripped in my life, we wanted.
Yeah. And then since we're luxury, like turntable and all that, can we draw
like
that?
A vinyl listening setup, basically. Yeah. Okay, an audio file setup.
That's actually I'll really allow
good. Are you allowing it?
No, I'll allow it.
Yeah, I have another one. Really fast internet.
We can give you that. That's
okay.
Luxury.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. Those are utilities.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're okay for that.
I mean, under the Louvre, I don't know, but and also in France, I don't know, but okay. All right. Then we're good. Yeah, P's right because like we always listen to that for inspo, and it'd be cool to have like an inside.
And it's an extra visual component.
Yeah.
It feels good
because you get the covers and the music. So.
Yeah, well, it's a reason to go in the studio when you're not in the mood to make music 100%. As well, just to like get the vibe going.
100%.
Record covers are as inspiring as the music itself.
Let's pick out from that. So you've got your records and you put up, say, three to five.
We have that at our studio.
Okay, what are those? Right now, or what would be the records that always inspire the Chromeo sound? Like you
literally
just have
those up now.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Time.
Yeah.
Which album?
The first one.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Is that Ice Cream Castles?
Ice Cream Castles.
Yeah.
No. No. The first Time album, I think, is just called The Time.
You're right.
Yeah.
The corner, Ice Cream Castle second, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The first one is the black and white cover. Yeah. It's got Cool on it. It's got the first one, the long song there with the synth solo at the end. That's the one.
It's not the album with Donald Trump black version.
That's a great one. But the first one, Prince actually played
that's
everything.
That's Pandemonium.
Remember, Jesse told us, Prince actually played everything. So that one... like a Robert Palmer thing for style.
The Deal.
With Addicted to Love or pre that?
No, pre.
Well, I didn't mean to turn you on in that era.
Was that Pressure? Yeah.
Pressure Drops, cool too, but like that vibe, right? Yeah, the sort of dandy thing.
The Deal. We got the Deal cover on there.
Three E's.
Oh, I don't know that.
The Deal, Body Talk.
Oh, yes.
That's Babyface's funk band.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. And L.A. Reid, they were both in there.
Yeah.
Ellie Reed's the drummer. I don't know. Yeah, some Jammin' Lewis vibes up there, whatever you want by them.
Janet Jackson Control kind of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else would we have?
This is a great precursor to the Chromeo DJ set as well, is it?
Yeah, maybe.
Is this kind of some of the jams?
You
or
can't
just keep
really
it modern?
Play that in the big clubs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But let's put
edits maybe.
Sure. Yeah. Let's put Uppercuts by our boy.
Yeah,
Brax, who's left me on red the other day. He's, dude, what's up, bro? Qu'est-ce qui se passe, Alain? He left me on red. That one's a cool cover. More modern. Or Playgroup, actually. Let's do that. Let's you know what?
Yeah.
Let's take Brax out because he left me on red and let's put Trevor Jackson in.
That's such a good thing.
Nah, I love him, but why did he leave me on red? He's probably
busy. What do you say to him?
long story. But like, but we talk. Yeah. I think he's busy. I saw he was playing shows.
He's on French internet. So
his and Falcon's episode of this was good because they were arguing a lot.
Bomb, yeah. Anyways, yeah, like a slew of nice record covers. Yeah. You know,
any particular turntable? Let's go deep.
Nah, it's got to be a technique.
Technique's just.
Well, yeah. I can't believe people don't use that.
Yeah.
Like, because you need to be able to start, stop. Yeah. Like, whoa.
And you do get, you get vibes going by.
Oh, 100%.
And stuff. Mm. And you're like.
Actually, Alain, my brother, has, like, in New York, he's got.
So if people don't know, it's A-Track.
Yeah, he's got a Pioneer one. I quite like it because it works just like a Technics, the ones.
Oh, the new studio, one, the PLX-10.
But it goes down to minus 30.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could really do cool stuff. Like, I've been just like, I chopped and screwed the test pressing of our album, and it sounds incredible. It's unreal. So I quite like that one because it just really works as it's you know, it's not belt drive or whatever. Yeah. It's a direct drive.
It was them trying to replace the Technics in the booth, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know what? It's
sturdy. Is a good.
It's sturdy, and the minus 30 plus 30 is crazy.
It's great for TikTok as well. You just slow it right down, put the reverb on.
Done. You're good to go. Or make it faster.
Yeah.
Good to go. I couldn't believe. I went with our test pressings, and I was like chopping and screwing. It was crazy. It sounded so good.
So is that what A-Track's using as well?
No. But it's in our studio in New York. We have like a little listening section, station or whatever. And then we got
those. That would be quite the endorsement if he was using it.
No, he's still on the Technics.
Technics, of course.
He loves them.
Okay, well, I mean, that brings us to the end of the podcast, right?
So, I mean, isn't this like, it's kind of probably one of the most Spartan, I was looking for that word, Spartan, like kind of just very minimal, modest, right?
I mean, on this show, they all are.
Right, obviously.
I mean, it's quite funny. You won't believe there's people that, there have been people that have, what was it, Matthew Herbert?
Matthew Herbert had four items just to screw with us.
Just to be punk. Yeah. He was like, I don't even want six.
Yeah, but he's nice. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, also depends what kind of music you make.
Yes,
exactly.
Did Matthew Herbert make an album with like hospital equipment?
Possibly. He was saying about doing fragment samples. And
I mean, those guys are really like, those guys are like wizards, you know? Yeah. Like for the wizards, we're pretty much.
Some people can go with a TB-303 and that's it.
And make a masterpiece. Yeah. You know what I mean? So for us, it's a pretty, there is a core palette.
But it's always more challenging when you have real instruments. Like you've got, because you had the Rhodes, they eat up a lot on the podcast when people have real instruments in as well.
Yeah, it is complicated. Yeah.
Because if you were just all synths, you would get quite a lot for six, you'd be okay. But when you need guitars, mics, speakers. I mean, you don't have a mic or speaker, so
no mic or speakers. But we'd be hard pressed without a guitar and a bass, because you know that's our instruments. So sometimes we might just jam on guitar and bass.
Well, yeah, and people can see that on your Insta. You drop that all the time where you're just like in the creative process.
Yeah.
Right. Well, all that's left to say is thank you so much for joining
thank
us today.
You.
It's been a pleasure seeing you guys again and and coming to London as well.
No, we're glad we did properly. This. This is so fun.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you very much, Chromio.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Well, there we have it. Chromio finally got them on the show, and I'm so glad we made it happen. And it was a difficult one, as we predicted.
It was a difficult one, but also I really enjoyed the fact that they were not particularly fussy about what they had of each particular item. They weren't going for the biggest, best.
Yeah,
but
not as bougie as I thought.
Not as bougie, yeah.
And no speakers.
No speakers.
No microphone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not in North America.
Not in North America. That's a bit of a surprise, yeah.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to wait and see whether the next episode of the podcast is such a challenge.
Indeed. Yeah. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll catch you next time for another adventure into Studio Foreverdom.
That's right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.